All right, here we go. Let's get Tom in here. By the way, no, Tommy. Tom, hang on. Don't touch the button, Jacob. I will touch Tom's door. Let me touch his door. There, I'm touching your door, Tom.
Did you touch my button, John?
Now get away from your button. Stop it. That's better.
Big splash.
Big splash. No know-it-all quiz today. Sorry about that.
Breaks my heart.
I know. You saw a big sad face on there.
Yeah.
All right. We have a lot of news to get to. 3:30. Is Hannah coming in? Is Inslee going to interrupt our show with a press conference? No. What's going to happen there?
Unfortunately, no? That's the beauty of Hannah, is Hannah will watch it for us, and then we'll talk to us about it later.
Hey. With the beauty of Hannah, Human Resources has sent out a note about that. They don't want you to use that term anymore.
I didn't suggest
Jacob.
You get into a hot tub or anything, John.
No. The beauty of Hannah. The imagination runs wild. We see her running through wildflowers with, you know, come on now.
I'm going to lose both of you on this show.
Clean it up, Jacob. Speaking of changing the terms, Joe Biden, the president, signed the other day, no longer allowed to call them illegal immigrants, Tom. No longer.
Illegal aliens.
I guess immigrants. What are they calling them?
Undocumented.
Future Democratic voters, I think, is a new term they're going to have for them. And one way to guarantee that they vote for you is to give them all sorts of goodies, like
treat them well. Imagine that.
Imagine that. Have them not be convicted for laws broken. Imagine that. So if you have snuck into the country and you've been in here illegally, eventually, what are you going to do? As I think a bunch of people have said, what are you going to do? Line up, take 11 million people and put them on a bus and try to send them all home? Obama got close with 3 million. But we now have a new president, and Seattle Times looks at what will the new immigration law, if it gets through, of course, it's going to get changed around and stuff. But if they're able to get it through, what effect will it have on some of the people that are living here in the state of Washington?
So the Seattle Times profiles two or three couples and the kind of dilemmas that they're in. And they were concerned during the Trump administration, ICE was sort of following the law, the letter of the law, rather than what Biden says should be the spirit of the law, so that anybody who was here illegally was not here properly. And most of these people, John, I don't think snuck across. They got visas and then stayed. That makes up a big bulk of them. But they decided that the Biden administration is going to return to the way the Obama administration had looked at things. They're focusing on public safety threats rather than just anybody who happens to have gotten here illegally or been staying here illegally. And so that focus now gives some hope. They profile a number of people, somebody who'd been here for 20 years. He overstayed his visa, and he was sort of on the docket. He was found out, I think ICE caught him in 2018 or something, and he's been going through these sort of court processes, and a lot of these processes slowed to, went down to a simmer during the pandemic. Now they're starting to increase, and they're wondering if with the switched administration, if maybe they would look more kindly on this guy, who I don't think has a record. He's got kids here in this country. He has, his kids are, citizens since they're born here, that they might be more lenient because he doesn't present a public safety threat. So those kinds of things. They say, though, they can't relax because a lot of the Trump administration issues, if you are already in the line of kind of like court decisions, you might have to follow that through to the end. It's just that now you wouldn't be caught necessarily like the Trump administration's focus would be perhaps with ICE. But if you're already in the system, can the system decide we don't care enough about that to pursue or not?
Nobody deported more than Obama. And I was reading why that happened. The law was in place, this community something or other law was in place, which basically shared information with local law enforcement, with ICE. And this was happening in 2010, 2011. I think they switched in 2012. But it basically just opened the file and allowed ICE to see everything that was out there, and they could sweep in and get. That's why they sent so many home, known as the deporter in chief. And it was even a question that was asked of Joe Biden during the debates by that guy from I forget the name of the Spanish channel. He said, you know, your President Obama sent so many home. What would you do differently? And why didn't you stop him if you felt it was unjust? And he said, well, I was just the vice president. With that, what's his name? Jumped on him and said, Castro's jumped on him and said, oh, it's interesting. Sometimes you're right there with all the good stuff, but then the bad stuff you don't take any credit for. So the idea was, it was interesting. Obama was really stuck between a rock and a hard place where this community law set in place. Then in 2012, I believe they changed it, which created this separation between ICE and local, and then they weren't able to go in there and get it. They said, okay, well, tell you what, if you break all sorts of laws, you had DUIs and stealing and robbery and everything else, we're going to grab you and send you back. So now the question will be, aren't we a fugitive state? Isn't that what we are considered? What are we considered? What do they call it again?
Who's we? No, the United States.
The state
States?
Of Washington.
No.
Aren't we a fugitive state?
No. You mean an anarchist jurisdiction, and that only applies to Seattle, not the entire state.
No. What is it called when you break the law?
Are you thinking of sanctuary city?
Oh, no, I like to call it a fugitive state, where you are running from the law, but the law won't enforce it. That's a better term for it in the Orwellian world of what is sanctuary city, that you have sanctuary here. They can come and get you, but not if you're in the city of Seattle, I guess you have sanctuary.
Well, the thing is that that's a dispute between city rights and the feds, and that needs to be adjudicated. But the point here is that the people that are like the DACA recipients were going to be denied their DACA promise under the Trump administration. And now they feel like with Biden in there, he is going to alleviate that. One of the couples they profile is this guy, a Guatemalan, who married a Mexican. They were here illegally, but she's a DACA person. And so and they have two kids. The suspicion is that she'll be able to stay if they, keeps her record clean, and he might have to be deported at that point. Because why? Because he's at 32 now, and he had two DUIs like a decade ago in his early 20s. So I was going through a lot of stress, but that is on his record. DUI.
Yep.
Your DUI, you could kill somebody. That might be enough to have him be sent back to Guatemala, and then she would like to visit him with her two kids. But under the Trump administration, she couldn't get something that would allow her back into the country, even though she was a DACA person. So they're hoping that they'll alleviate those rules, and at least she'll be able to take her kids down and at least see him on his way back. So it's those kinds of lightening of the concerns.
So put this into perspective, what has happened. We're going to talk about the kids in cages or kids in containers or whatever you want to call it. So the Trump administration said, you can't come in here. You stop in Mexico. Apply for asylum in the first place you feel safe. Then they basically said, Mexico, help us out here. We don't want them coming in. There's seven ports of entry or there's illegal spots to come in. Can you hold them there? So people have been held there. I saw this in NPR. They're waiting there. There's moms and kids. So what they do is the moms, because they're not traveling with dads, they take the kids and they say to the kids, cross there. So the kids cross there. The moms stay back because they believe that one, it's filthy where they are. It's dangerous and medically just very challenging for kids. So they said, go across right there, head in there, get picked up. They get picked up there. And that's why there's been an influx, a 535% increase in the number of kids that are crossing the border illegally. Moms and dads, if dads are all involved, are staying back. And that's why you see this big influx of kids that have moved in there. So that's why now all of a sudden, like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? So realize when the White House talks about you're not going to see kids being torn from parents. Yes, you won't, because there are no parents. It is kids that are crossing illegally, coming into the country anywhere from the age of like 3 up to 17 years old. So the question is, these cages, these things, what's the difference between this and what Trump had in place?
Well, first off, John, I can't imagine.
I'm playing the sound. I can't hear it, Tom. Hold on, Tom.
Okay.
I can't hear it.
Kids at the border, and it's not meaningfully different than what President Trump.
I'm going to play it again.
Start it over.
Yeah. Hang on. This is not operator error, by the way. This is not on me. Hang on. That I can't play it over. So screw it. Here we go. You ready? Everybody
was doing
live radio.
Well, it's absolutely not the same thing, Megan. We are not ripping children from the arms of their parents. That is horrible and immoral and something we saw in the last administration. But what we're seeing is kids are fleeing prosecution. They're fleeing really difficult circumstances in their home country, and they're coming to the border. And we need to figure out how to treat them humanely and keep them safe. And in a time of COVID, that means we needed to open an additional facility so that we could have educational services, so we could have legal services, so we could have medical and health services, and have those kids there treated humanely until we can find proper homes, family placements for these kids.
Okay. So they're trying to get them. You're trying to get them on the, see that? Those are the same things. You called it cages. That's the same sort of thing. So what's the difference between the two? They're getting an influx because word has gotten out that it's going to be easier to get into the United States with Biden than it was with Trump.
Right? Well, the thing is, though, I don't know. I mean, that's, I hadn't heard that wrinkle, if that's true, that they come up with their parents and their parents stay in Mexico and then they send the kids over. I hadn't heard that. That may indeed be the case. But in for most of these kids, they say 90% of these kids, they all have family members in the United States. They have sponsors. So this is just, it's a holding pen till they get processed out to the family. That's what was being denied under the Trump administration. And there's a little distinction. There's a distinction between this holding pen place at Carrizo, which was protested about during the Trump administration by immigration activists. But they say that's different. That place isn't half bad compared to the detention centers run by ICE. And those are the places where most of these cages were set up. And the reason they're doing this is because
whose cages were they, Tom?
They were originally made by the Obama administration, but were not used to the degree to which the Trump administration used them. But the key about this Carrizo place is one of the reasons they don't they have to shelter them there temporarily. And they say it's pandemic related. We wouldn't do that post pandemic and wouldn't have to if we weren't in the middle of a pandemic, is because they have to. They can't house as many kids in the space. They have to keep space for them. So anyway,
that's
but it is
you're getting a big move. Well, the reason you don't want to come with the parents, you have a better chance. 2%, by the way, of the kids end up being placed with parents. They're in there. The Flores laws say that they can't hold the kids for any more than, 72 or 5 days or something. Yeah, they're holding them longer because they don't have any place to put them, how to get them through the system. It's another huge mess. What you'd seen was that people said, you know, I'm not going to the United States. It dropped down to low levels in the last 2 years when Trump was in there basically enforcing it and stopping. But when word got out that Biden was going to be, there was a big caravan because now you can come in and you can.
I just want to know, are you or are you not detaining children separately in a different facility?
Well, Megan, this is a facility that was reopened, it was revamped, and it was redone to have these kids in a place where they could have access to educational services, health services, so they could find proper homes. We can't send them directly to families that haven't been vetted. We've seen issues with that in the past. We can't have them all in the former HHS facility because of COVID, and we need to make sure there's safety protocols so that they're not in beds next to each other. This is incredibly
difficult. There's criticism all the way around, including from people within your own party, like AOC. And I think there's just a lot of people that see this as hypocrisy and that it's just sort of potato, potato. It's kids in cages or kids being separated there from their families. Kids are being separated from their families.
Our objective.
They're not.
They're not being separated.
Most of them are not. They're not being separated because the moms and dads are not coming in. Plus, the other part of it is.
Yeah, I see. Okay.
Yeah, and the other part of it is this that makes an interesting twist. The mom or dad comes across illegally, right? So, bang, they get caught. Then they say, I want to apply for asylum. What normally happens at that point, you separate. Because think of any other time a parent is arrested, because the parent is actually arrested. Are you going to keep the parent and the kid together while the parent is arrested? It doesn't happen. You then are charged with a misdemeanor, right? And they basically say it's a misdemeanor. It's time served. The whole thing takes about 7 hours, right? You fill out the forms. Then at this point, they used to. Trump would send them back and wait for the case to be heard. And now what Biden would like to do is bring them in and then let them go and then have them on their own recognizance come back a year and a half later. They believe, the immigrants that are coming in illegally believe that if they come in, do the time served, do the misdemeanor thing, and then are released, they're more likely to have their case heard because they're, you know, you sort of take the people that are already here as opposed to those that are waiting back in Mexico. So that's kind of what they understand is the best thing to do is get in, get in illegally, then get released into the country, and then, you know, maybe, maybe not, come back for your court case.
That's right. But the key is they are. Yeah. And if they're released, they're released to their sponsors, usually relatives or friends of the family. And if they're cleared, children then are released to live with them while they go through this immigration process. Yeah. Now, you may say
about a year and a half.
They'll never show up or something. But
some do. Some don't.
They have sponsors. Yeah. OK.
By the way, when Joe was running from, I don't know, he's in basement when he was asked this question. What are you going to do about the cages?
What is the justification for continuing incarcerate migrants and expand the detention system? Like, what would you do to improve and help the immigrants reunite with their families?
Close them down.
No, seriously.
We don't need them. We found that when we were in office, in fact, if you decided we finally got things under control, we find us that if you and say you have to report back for a hearing on such and such a date, people show up.
Yeah,
you don't have to keep kids in a cage. There should be no justification separating a parent from a child.
Hey, there you go. All right.
Yeah, you're good. That's good.
Very good. Thank you, Joe.
And then there's the pandemic.
Right. And then they are got kids in cages. But that's hey, listen, so seriously. Yes. Thank you, Tom, for that.
Yeah.
Kiel Mortgage 1-888-778-KIEL. I was going to come over and do the show from the studios with Jacob today, but huge snowstorm coming into the mountains today. 2 to 3 feet or something like that. So scared me off. Yeah.
Such
I would never make it back. Such shit. I know, because I sat there and see Jacob, and then he gets like, hey, take it easy on the blueberries. All right. I guess we got Hannah monitoring the press conference, listening to Jay Inslee through the muffled mask. Speaking of muffled masks, do you have a big announcement? It says here, segment three, Tom has an announcement.
I just want to do an update. A lot of people have been writing me very helpfully about the trials of vaccine hunting. And I think we've established on this show that I got early on, in fact, before they even dropped the age limit to 65, I got my mom, who's now 90, an appointment that's in March. And March is right around the corner. And Paige and I have been looking and trying to get something. And I've had a lot of people writing in, Cameron from Sammamish, and a lot of people telling me about this COVIDWA.org spot. And so Paige and I have been going to that over and over and over again. And we finally got something, an appointment set up for Island Drugs up on Oak Harbor.
I use Island Drugs.
Is that right? Well,
They're great.
They have appointments. And so Paige and I, now, we couldn't get the appointment until May. But I said, that's okay. I can wait. And so we've been waiting for the last just couple of weeks, as you know, just sort of being reassured. Well, last night we found out that Island Drugs.
Wait, hang on. But wait. Last night.
Horror show. Island Drugs let us know that anybody who has an appointment, they're not guaranteed appointments. Not only that, they said that, in fact, it turns out that those appointments that Paige and I made like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago for Island Drugs, they're only for second dose vaccines. So if you haven't already gotten your vaccine. So at that point, all of our plans are settled. A life has been thrown asunder. So Paige said, okay, screw it. We're going to go to that COVID wall and we're going to keep hitting and keep hitting and keep hitting till we find wherever it is. Till we find where it is. Well, guess what? Apparently.
Well, hold on. You know what you need to do? Don't keep hitting
it. Pound it. And we got to pound it until it's done.
You got to pound it. You got to pound it until it's done.
We pounded the laptop until we found out that there were openings in Yakima this weekend. So the first thing we did, now I'm hearing about Tracy and what you're just saying about the snowstorm. We checked the passes for this weekend, and it looks like Saturday's conditions might be good. So at that point, we both booked vaccine appointments for this Saturday in Yakima. Now, guess what town we drive through on our way to Yakima? The Clay. So guess what?
The Clay, not the Clay. The Clay.
So
right.
guess whose cabin we're going to visit Saturday
morning
on our way. And it'll be we promise we won't stay for more than 15, 20 minutes, but I got to check out that outhouse of yours.
Yes,
if
please.
Nothing
that aroma is wonderful.
Yeah, she loves it. She loves the aroma. All right, so, well, that was a, there we go. There's the big announcement. So coming
right
through the CLE, I will send you the address. And you can come here. What's it, Saturday morning you're coming?
So we figured we'd leave early Saturday morning in a figured a couple hours. I don't know how bad the pass is going to be, but we'd like to be there maybe 11 o'clock-ish. I don't know. I hope you're, dressed by that point.
No, absolutely.
I have a quick follow-up question for Tom. So,
sure.
So this is a vaccine appointment for you, not just your mom, which was what you were struggling with for so long.
Yeah, so mom is just here at the University of Washington. She's getting that next week. But Paige and I are going to go this week, and just the two of us, and we both have our appointments. And assuming we can get across the pass in time, we'll be getting our first shot. I assume we're going to have to get our second shot over there as well. So I may be visiting John twice this
CLE
month.
Come to the CLE.
The CLE.
But don't think for any minute, even after you get the vaccine, that you're going to be safe, because we're hearing from Dr. Fauci, who's telling us,
there are certain aspects of being vaccinated and what that means to you personally and your own personal safety and that of your family versus what vaccines will allow you to do in society. One relates to you yourself being vaccinated, and the other relates to the number of people and the relative percentage of people in society that will be vaccinated, because there will be things that you will not be able to do because the burden of virus in society will be very high, which it is right now. Uh-huh. Even though we're going way down on the decline that Dr. Walensky showed you, we are still at an unacceptably high baseline level, with the 7-day average being quite high.
Yeah, unacceptable. I don't know is that a science term? What's acceptable and not acceptable? This is what you won't be able to do.
So there are things, even if you're vaccinated, that you're not going to be able to do in society. For example, indoor dining, theater.
Okay, what planet is he from? People are doing indoor dining, but why bother getting vaccinated if you can't go and enjoy a fine Chianti and maybe
places where people congregate? That's because of the safety of society. You yourself, what you can do when you are together with another person, we are looking at that. And we're going to try and find out very quickly what recommendations could be made about what people can do.
Yeah, let me know what I can do, Dr. Fauci. Hey, Dr. Fauci, please tell me what I'm allowed to do and not do.
One of the things that's universal here that we know that at this point in time, it is unclear whether when you get vaccinated and you might be protected from clinical disease, which is the primary endpoint of the vaccine studies, that you could conceivably be infected, have virus in your nasopharynx, and at that same time have no symptoms, which is
and
the reason why we recommend and say you still need to wear a mask. Because if you do have virus in your nasopharynx, even though we hope that when the data comes in, it's going to show that the very virus level is quite low and you're not transmitting it, we don't know that now. And for that reason, we want to make sure that people continue to wear masks despite the fact that they're vaccinated.
Yeah, okay, right.
So, that's
Mr. Goalpost Mover. Well, science, I heard today, I forget on what station, and it was an FM, not AM, so it's not that kind of crazy conspiracy stuff, that if you are asymptomatic after getting the virus, after getting the vaccine, and you could possibly get it again, you will be asymptomatic, you won't know that you have it, and it's very unlikely that you will be able to contaminate somebody else as much as you'd like to try, as much as you've been sneezing and spitting and coughing in people's faces, which is the primary reason you wear the mask, in case somebody does cough, sneeze, or spit right in your face, or if you're in a small and inclined and closed area. But Fauci basically saying, don't expect to go anywhere for a long time. You know, the difference is in here's his life. $426,000 a year, the highest paid federal employee. Plus, he's now making anywhere between $30,000 and $60,000 a speaking engagement. By the way, try to book him. It's very difficult because he's extremely popular. His life has
he's
been affected.
On TV every
none,
day now, though.
Zero, zero. His life is not affected in one negative way. He's more popular than he's ever been before. He's been sainted by the media. So he talks about, you can't go out and go to the, you can't do this and can't, and keep wearing masks. He's afraid that people are going to go, you know what? That's it. We're done. We got it. We're down. We've hit herd immunity, which he doesn't like to have anybody talk about. He's afraid that all of a sudden he would like everybody to go 20 miles an hour and chew their food 50 times before swallowing. That's just what he is, right?
Well, that's,
but that's not
that's,
realistic, and that's not life. And you should also be able to be honest with people and give people the true numbers. He doesn't want to give false hope or any hope, so he just keeps. Oh, now the one thing we know for sure is what we don't know for sure is what we could possibly do for sure.
He's the most. He's the most cautious because that's what he's responsible for. He's a bit like
a parent. That's not his job, Tom. No,
well,
that is not his job.
What he's saying is we do not have the data. We do not have the data that proves
they have the data.
That people that people that have been vaccinated can't. Can't transmit it. You could still carry it, even though it doesn't impact you. Now, the early data seems to be coming in and indicating that, yes, that's not a problem. He says, we just don't know that yet. So until we know that for sure, that's better safe than sorry. Not for you, but for the rest of us.
Gotta keep it a crisis.
Well, as they always said, they always said at the very beginning of this crisis, when it was
when he told us not to wear masks.
No, John,
that Dr. Fauci, you don't need. I don't need to see people walking around with masks on. That's unnecessary.
You people keep going back to that thing that he said, like not, what was it, 10 months ago? That he then changed 3 weeks later because they had enough of these masks. Because now we have different masks than.
Don't wear a mask. So you're at risk, then other people can have masks. I see. Okay.
So well, the front line. We wanted the healthcare workers.
Zero credibility with me. Zero. I like them first.
I know.
I don't like him anymore.
But most of us still admire and acknowledge him.
He blew it.
He did not blow it. Listen, it's much worse.
Listen,
than it
the
ever
reason
had
I couldn't tell the truth.
The time.
Check him out on ABC.
What are you trying to do?
The reason I couldn't tell the truth is I didn't want to give people false hope regarding whether or not that you know when it came
half
to
a
immunity.
Million people are dead. At one point, we were thinking that 60,000 might be too much.
65 or older, Tom. Yep. Yep.
Yes, I know. I'm 65 and older.
Right. That's right. 75 and older.
You're not
as well.
That far
they
away
die as well. Yep, I know. Right behind.
So he is. What he's just saying is that just getting the vaccine isn't then a pass that you don't have to be concerned until we get more data.
So long,
in.
Dr.
Once
Fauci.
The data comes in, and I expect
nobody
it'll
panic.
Be sooner rather than later.
Oh boy, Sam, boy, some cool music coming back in on the break. All righty. Write to us at mynorthwest.com. Tell me how annoying, how wrong I am. That's one thing gets people all upset is this COVID talk. I'll be glad when it's all over in July, Tom. I'm sorry. When it 2022. All righty. Then we'll go back to normal. Let's see. This is the story. Do we have time for this? Yes, we will. The woman places something up on Reddit basically explaining that she has trained crows by feeding the crows, and now the crows have become her friends, and now the crows are like a gang that protect her from harm in the neighborhood. And she has put this thing up there and just asking other people about Reddit. Now it's being described as one of the most hilarious best bird stories ever.
I think most of us that have lived in this region have been attacked by crows or seen crows kind of dive bomb pedestrians whenever they get a chance. It certainly happened in my neighborhood. And here's an example of the opposite of that. This woman decided that she was going to make friendly with this particular crow. And she started feeding this particular crow, and then he had a friend, and so he was feeding this friend, and then it turned out that there's a whole murder of crows, I guess, that she ended up feeding all the time. So the one thing that she noticed when she left the house, when she was not in her car, but was walking like around the neighborhood, she claims that there are a lot of birds that just kind of follow her. They just sort of keep track of her. You know, they're sort of like handing off as their, like she's part of their, you know, protective brood or something.
Yeah.
And the evidence that she provides is whenever a neighbor comes over and is talking to her, like in a yard, these crows start dive bombing the neighbor as if the neighbor is, you know, illegal entry, you know, stop a stranger, stranger danger. Mm-hmm. And they attack, her. And she just talks about how, you know, winning that feels. And she's, feels bad though, that indeed, if her neighbors are afraid to come visit her, friends are afraid to come visit her because her protective crows actually are doing damage to her visitors.
And now people want to know, is it true? Are they protecting her? They're looking out for her. And people have been weighing in, saying that's not the case. Might just be your imagination, or she's just trying to think what's the best thing to do for her now crow relationship. She's got everybody.
And there is a positive spin for these crows too. Apparently, in that same neighborhood, there was an older man who had slipped on a sheet of ice or something and was immobile, and the crows all were going crazy, screeching, that it caught the attention of the neighborhood, and they saw what had happened, and so they're now crediting, and the guy was taken to the hospital, and he survived and wasn't badly injured, that they say, see, the crows really are doing their social
duty. You know what they're doing? No. Why do you think that something good? Here's what they're basic. If you were to translate it, it would be, hey, got one down. Let's go peck his eyes out.
Right.
I sent video to Jacob one time, or to Patrick, who these producers come and go. And it was the crow, a dead crow laying there, and another crow comes along, and before they eat it and peck at it, they take turns having sex with it. And I'm thinking, okay, that's the thing that we're supposed to... Yes, 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 yes. It was my screensaver for a while.
That video didn't go viral? I don't understand.
You got to dig around. You got to be up late at night looking for it, but I'll send it to Jacob. Yeah,
okay.
Dead crow laying there. Others are coming over and having sex with it and pecking on it. That's your vaulted crows. So, and by the way,
they are to be called a group of crows, to be called a murder of crows, does raise questions about their sociability patterns.
And you two run.
Here you go.
Then run as quickly as you can. Now, does everybody understand?
Yes.
All right, Johnny, lead the way.
Johnny leads the way. Heads outside. Where's Pippi Head? What's her name? Hedren?
Tippi Hedren.
Tippi?
Tippi, yeah.
Who's Pippi?
Lawn stocking.
There they are. And then they're all out there. Okay, Jacob, I will send that, and you can put that up on our Facebook page. Dead crow and other crows having sex with it, okay?
I don't know. I feel uncomfortable with that.
Well, no, you're the one that picks these animal stories, right? You're the one doing all that sort of stuff. By the way,
just
one thing you don't want to mess around
corpse.
With.
Corpse.
You know, I've really gotten into is bees. I know that Ron from the Ron and Don Show used to have bees. I read this whole thing on bees. They are fascinating, and I'm very close to having like a bunch of beehives. Just crazy cool what these things are able to do. Yeah. So, and that talk about like figure stuff out. Like that's the one. You kill one, they write your name down. They have meetings about it. They send PDF forms back and forth, the photos of yourself, and they stalk you. They know where you're going. They know that you build habits. They know your license plate numbers. Yes.
We've just had murder of crows. You can raise murder hornets.
We took care of all of those.
All righty.
How about traffic? By the way, Tracy Till, I hate to, you know, steal your thunder, but I've heard like a lot of snow in the passes coming up in a couple of hours.
3 feet, John. 3
yes.
feet. That'll be fun at your place. Okay, we're watching you shovel your driveway.